what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and in today's episode, we're going to be picking up where we last left off. We talked about ruptures last time, and Kim hinted at this idea of being willing to repair. So, if rupture is the breaking of intimacy and trust, how do we get that back? What is a repair? And how can we be savvy about getting the connection that we truly are looking for? Coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified healthcare provider for any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. Hey, Kim, welcome back to the Marriage Savvy Podcast.
Hey, John.
Do you know that we're trying to be savvy about our relationships?
Are we? Are we trying to be savvy?
Yeah, we're trying to be marriage savvy.
We are marriage savvy.
Yeah, we're a new breed. We're a new breed. Well, thanks for being on the show tonight. Thanks for coming back. And I wanted to kind of reflect a little bit on our last episode. We talked about ruptures and we talked about one, like, what is it? You know, and we defined it as a break or a disconnection of trust and intimacy. But then we also talked about how there are lots of paper cuts, emotional paper cuts in a relationship, and a relationship dies by like 1,000 of them. And so what are the little ones? So the little R's, like the little ruptures, and we talked about those. And then we also talked about some of the bigger ones, like emotional, being emotionally volatile. And so we ended the episode last time on asking ourselves, are we even willing to repair? And that was the first step. So I'm curious if you can go ahead and walk us through this idea of being willing to repair. And then what would be, like, where do we go from there?
Yeah, so being willing to repair. It's being willing to repair, being in a place where you want to repair, right? So what, because what is repair and what is not repair? When I hear somebody before we've trained them, before we've talked to them, before we've taught them about a good solid repair, right? What you'll hear is, I'm sorry. I said I was sorry. What more do you want? Like, look, I don't, why do we need to keep talking about this? I said I was sorry.
We can't move forward until we let go of the past. I've already said sorry.
I've already said I'm sorry. But does that rebuild the trust? Right?
That's what we need to ask.
If rupture is the break of trust and repair is rebuild trust, then I'm sorry is the lowest form of that.
Yeah.
Right? Because what has that got to do with trust? When people say I'm sorry, especially in that way, I'm sorry. It's not about the person that was offended at all. It's about them. I'm sorry. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to talk about this. Let's move on. It's not even about you. It's about me and my feelings and my discomfort. And that is the last message you want to get across. Because if anything, what you're saying is, you're right not to trust me. I'm not trustworthy. So not only is rupture not repaired, it is widened.
Wow, I didn't think about it that way.
When you get an apology like that, you have made trust more damaged than before.
Yeah, it's almost like further to reach at that point.
Not almost, exactly right. And so if you think about it, if you think about repair, it is about how can I help you feel better and closer and build trust of our partnership before anything else, it'll rarely be an I'm sorry.
What about the people that say, I just want them to acknowledge it? Is that really all that they're needing? I just want them to acknowledge that they're wrong. Is that really all that they're needing?
It could be. I mean, it could be, right? Again, how big a rupture? Is a small R, a little, you know, a big R? Is this something that has, let me tell you, an apology, I'm sorry, can often work if it isn't a repeat offender. If you've got a repeat offender on the same exact issue, I'm sorry. What more do you want? I said I was sorry is like a manipulation.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like it becomes even less valid at that point. And so that's why I said you've got to be in a place where the first order of business in a repair is, are you in a place where you want to repair? Because you have to get uncomfortable and you have to be willing to show up and be vulnerable. That is so much more than I'm sorry. And if I'm sorry is all you got, especially with I'm sorry with an attitude, you're not ready to make repair. And honestly, like step number one is remembering this person that I am in relationship with, that I have offended, that I have hurt, that I have broken trust, is somebody I care about.
Yeah.
You've got to soften your head and your heart toward that person. So if you're coming at it annoyed, so let's say it's a little betrayal. Like I said, I would make sure that I got off work in time to go to your company event.
A broken agreement. Little R. Right?
Little R. And I don't, for whatever reason, say the traffic is way worse than I thought it was that night. And the meeting ran longer than it should have. And I got lost in time, whatever. And coming home, I know I've hurt you, but I go into anger defense mode. Instead of, you have to be in your right mind to do that. And what I mean by right mind is we all have this adaptive mind, this adaptive part of us that gets triggered, that gets defensive, that wants to be like, ah, I did the best I could, get off my back. Or what about me and what kind of day I've had? And, you know, we all go to that place, yeah. Right? That's normal. But to do repair, we have to soften. We have to go, okay, there's a place for that. Yes. Yes, I have feelings in this, but the person that I love that's depended on me to keep my word, I didn't keep. And I feel bad about that for them, right? Mm-hmm. You have to soften. If you go into this, who's right and who's wrong, and what's fair and what's not fair, I don't like to be told when I'm doing something wrong. If we go to that place, then we're not going to be in the right mind to do good repair. We won't make good repair. It's impossible to do it.
Yeah. Because the repair is not about the relationship or your partner. It's about you not being okay to be in the discomfort of what's going on.
That's right. You're not regulated enough to do it. If you're angry and agitated and you feel bothered and you feel like your spouse is being a pain in the ass, and everything else that's going on, right? Then you're not going to approach a repair from the right frame of mind and place.
Does the person that was betrayed have their trust broken? Do they also need to be in the right frame of mind?
Does the person who had, say that again?
Yeah. Like does the person who was the person on the receiving end?
Oh yeah. It helps, but listen, you have a big part in the way that you approach them and how they're going to respond. So for instance, you've let them down and they're angry. Right? If you come in with anything other than, oh, I am so sorry. This is all my fault. I've completely screwed this up. I should have done 50 things differently today. Let's get this taken care of, get you to your thing, or I'll make it up to you somehow, or, you know, get to that place where you're letting them know that you see their pain. You're taking full responsibility for it. Their anger will very likely respond very well to that. Hmm. So no, you don't wait for them to not be angry for you to approach them.
Okay. Well, that's helpful to know, because in my mind, I was like, well, if somebody is ready to make the repair and they were the offenders, you know, I thought it always depended on if the other person, you know, the person that received the pain, if they had to be in the right frame of mind to even receive some sense of remorse from their partner.
Well, You know, now that you put it like that, I mean, I can think of instances when it'd probably be wiser to wait a little bit, but I sure wouldn't ignore the subject until that person came around. They're never going to come around. Right? So it might be, hey, I know you're really upset. I'm here when you're ready to talk. I know that I have messed up.
Yeah.
And okay. I want to make that right. You know, if and when you can. And so there's two parts to repair that are really important. One is you have to speak from repair. You have to speak the words from repair, which is my part in this. And the other thing you have to do is you have to listen from repair. It is not, it is about listening to the experience of the person who was wronged. You have to be willing to listen to what it's like to depend on you and you not show up. And do that without getting angry that you're being called out.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of inviting a curiosity from your, like, what is it like for you to experience me whenever I cross the line, whether when I break an agreement, when I betray you in some way?
That's right.
Man, that takes a lot of guts.
It does. That's why I'm like, repair is work, man. It is work. Now, not every rupture needs the full on, you know, it's like I said, it's, is it a repeat offender? Is it a big R? You know, sometimes hey, I'm really sorry. I messed this up. Right. But if you're not in attunement with your partner, if you're not in a place where you guys are trusting and soft and playful with each other, then you've got some unresolved rupture that you've got to deal with.
And that's really helpful. Would you define what attunement is for some of our listeners who may not know what that might mean?
Attunement is this place of safety. Okay. Attunement is a place of trust and safety. That's what the rupture is breaking. It breaks attunement. So you know when you're in attunement, when you see couples who are, you've seen them in your office. You've seen couples that are sitting there and they are just physically relaxed in front of each other. They're playful. They're giving each other the looks and the verbal sparring cues that couples do when they're in attunement with each other. And basically they're saying, I feel safe here.
Yeah, it's that ooey gooey.
Well, maybe when you say ooey gooey, I think of them dripping all over each other, you know, and it may not be that, but it's this relaxed.
I know exactly what you're saying. I had this couple in session. They came in disconnected and dysregulated. And as we were working through the repair process, I knew that for them to, I guess, take a chance, maybe take a risk at reaching across to one another, I didn't need to be in the room. So I gave them 3 to 5 minutes. They could do whatever they'd want. In 3 to 5 minutes, I was going to come back and we can talk about it. And when I came back, they were sitting on each other's laps.
That is cracking me up. That's cracking me up. Yeah.
So what else?
It's knowing that you're okay with your partner and knowing they're okay with you. There's a relationship. I mean, like even after 35 years of marriage, like the days when my husband and I are really in attunement, we're just, somebody's dancing in the kitchen. Somebody's singing when they're cooking. Somebody is, you know, throwing something at the other one playfully. And just, it's just a sweet, it's the sweetness. It's the cream of being together. Like it's just the best part of it. And when we are not in attunement, there's usually something going on, like we're tired or it's a long day but sometimes we're not in attunement and it has nothing to do with outside forces. It's just something's not right with between us. And we have been together so long and know each other so well that we know. It's like it's obvious something's not okay. And nobody's like yelling or mad or not talking to the other one. It's just off. The vibes are off. Right. We're not in attunement anymore. And so my husband, it'll usually bother him first before he usually notices it first because of his attachment style and it bothers him more. And so he'll be like, hey, are we okay? And I'm like, and I'll either be like, oh yeah, we're okay. Like, yeah, fine. We're just fine, John. You know, obviously we're not. Or I am oblivious. I'm like, wait, what? Are we not? What's what? Yeah. I mean, I'm okay. Are you okay? And what happened is I'm tired or irritable or got something on my mind, and he felt the distance. He felt something was off, and he's just checking in, right? Yeah.
So, and that's like really helpful, because without that check-in, if he doesn't ask, if he doesn't check in, then he can naturally assume,
yeah,
it's him.
It's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've done something wrong. She's pissed off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about speaking from repair, and then we also talked about
listening
from repair. Mm-hmm. From repair. What else is a part of that repair process?
Well, it's when you try to make repair with someone, you've got to be authentic and show up and empathetic. And so when you tell someone you're sorry, and we talked about how I'm sorry is not enough on its own, it mm-hmm. helps somebody to receive I'm sorry if you're very specific about what you're sorry for. Not, hey, I'm sorry. I said I was sorry, but
sorry for what?
When I didn't show up tonight to go to your dinner with you or your thing or your whatever at work, I can't imagine how you must have felt. So disappointed and so angry and so hurt. I can't imagine sitting here wondering if I'm going to make it in time. I can't. Like, you really go into it. Like, you let them know that not only are you truly aware of what you've done wrong, but you're also trying, if not fully aware, of how they're feeling about it and how it made them feel.
Yeah, seeing it from their perspective.
Mm-hmm. Perspective taking.
Man, like, you were waiting for me to show up to this thing because you knew we hadn't seen each other the whole week. Mm-hmm. And you were really hoping that we could spend some time sitting together.
Yes.
Being with each other.
Yeah. Or, you know, or you're probably embarrassed to show up at work and then have to explain where your spouse is, or that might have made you look, you know,
yeah,
make people wonder about our relationship or, you know, whatever. Right. And so just letting somebody know you really do get the consequences of your actions and how much pain it caused them, or embarrassment or frustration or whatever it is. And then it is, any steps that you can take and how you're going to approach this in the future. Like, not only do I see this, like, I'm going to make sure, like, I'm going to start setting alarms on my phone that says you have to leave now. Like, this was a big deal to me and I'm going to be on this. Hmm. Right. And lets them know it's not just don't worry about it. You're too sensitive.
Yeah. Man, that'd be a terrible thing to say.
But have you not heard it? The worst apologies in the world are, I said I was sorry. What more do you want from me?
Yeah.
And then the other one is, you're just so sensitive.
I didn't yell at you that bad. I didn't say this amount of cuss words this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking about, just to kind of sit in this a little bit, is that whenever you take your partner's perspective and identify and observe how they could have felt, what it must have felt like. Like, for me, if someone were to do that, I would feel like they are really close to where I'm feeling. Like, the proximity, emotional proximity. I feel like they're right there with me in it. And for me, if they're right there in it with me, oh, wow, you're close. Yeah. I feel connected to you in this moment where you're reflecting something that I feel.
Yes. And if you remember, repairing is rebuilding trust and intimacy. There's the intimacy part, yeah. Right? And the trust is, I am trustworthy of your feelings, hopes, dreams, desires, whatever. And so the next time I will get this figured out so that I don't leave you hanging like that again. Mm. Because I care about you.
Yeah. And that's good. There was a couple that I was sitting with, and one of the partners had not known a part of their other partner's past, about their father not being there for them. And so whenever this one specific partner would not show up, man, that really meant a lot to her. Mm-hmm. And she realized, man, I just wish somebody would come through for me consistently.
Sure.
And when he realized that's what she was wanting, Man, he broke down and cried. And I was like, oh man, this is empathy at like one of its greatest levels.
And you know what, one of the reasons why I think people avoid repair and they avoid it. Some people avoid it. One is they're just conflict avoidant. It's like, this is hard and this person's mad at me or I've messed up. And so they're just going to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. Right. And and listen, it will happen. You will regulate over time. So every time there's a rupture, and I've seen this play out so much, even if they don't repair it or they don't repair it properly, you'll get back into regulation eventually. Mm-hmm. But man, now the trust and intimacy is damaged because you never made a proper repair. So they always know that it's there and that you're capable of hurting them in that way and not making repair. So they just feel a little bit less valued, cherished, loved. And so the next time there's a rupture, it builds on each other.
Right.
It builds on each other. Now the little R's become a big R.
Yeah.
And the big R's, that's why I said death of 1,000 paper cuts. The big R's are the ones that end relationships. And so you get enough unresolved R's, now you got big R's.
Yeah.
Right. And so another thing that people do instead of repair, they triangulate. So they'll not like, so they'll go, I'll see women especially go talk to a family member or their mother instead of their partner or girlfriend instead of their partner or the guys at work instead of the partner. Right. And so triangulating, passive aggressive, that's the kind of stonewalling, I'm going to be silent treatment, blaming, being very rigid or controlling, or this all or nothing. They'll take this all or nothing stance, which is take it or leave, take me or leave me. You know, it's who I am. You take it or leave it. And all this is just a very immature relational skill that they've not quite developed yet. And so they don't know how to lean into that, to push past that toward their partner. And I don't know that people really do. Maybe they would try harder if they really understood what it is they're doing every time they don't resolve it correctly. Hmm.
Because I've heard that last one before. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. Like, mm-hmm. This is where I'm at. And a part of me wants to say that's kind of true. Like that's where they're at. But the therapist in me says, yeah. And at the same time, blank. But I'm just wondering like what that blank is.
Like, well, I mean, okay, that's where they're at, but where's their partner at? And why are they not willing to be where their partner's at?
Oh, okay. There's the blank.
Yeah. Why are you not willing to own up to your mistakes or your betrayal or your misstep? Why are you not willing to do that? What I've told people before is, I'm a little bit more blunt than you probably though, but I mean, I'm kind of like, come on. You're strong enough to own your own mistakes, aren't you? Learn how to lean into this. Learn how to do it. It's a skill. Anybody can learn it.
Yeah. You know what? Something that I've resorted to whenever someone has said, so for example, you know what? I just lie. You know, she knew that I was going to, that I lied myself into this, you know, like she knew. And so what I resorted to was, okay, well, I look at the other partner. So this is one of his core values. It seems like this is one of his core values. Is that something that you want to partner with in the long run, you know? And so, which is actually like a valid question, because we have to talk about core values. But I mean, I was just curious about that, you know, this is who I am bit. Because yeah. I do hear that a lot.
Well, again, it's just a way to avoid taking accountability. And honestly, I've seen enough of those people who are that's just who I am kind of thing, right? When their spouse finally says, then I don't want it, all of a sudden they're very willing to be whatever their spouse wants them to be.
Yeah, yeah.
They're backtracking so fast.
Not so fast, yeah. And that's what ended up happening was there was some subjectivity on, you know, truth and lies and mm-hmm. being willing or not willing to do that. And whenever there was a, if one of the partners felt like, you know what, this is it, I'm done with this, I can't do the then there was some willingness to change.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners on this idea of repair?
Yeah. So the other thing that I want to say about repair is that the quicker you do it, the easier it is to get through it. And so Stan Tatkin has done a lot of work on brain science, and he says that when the longer you're in disrepair, your brain starts to make up more and more stories about it that become realities, and whether they are or not. And so it's harder to get out of disrepair the longer that you're sitting in it. So he even says the first one to make repair first wins. Like, that's the only contest you should be engaging in. And
first.
Yeah. And I think there's some real truth in that, that it's critical to do it quickly because of what the brain does with that information.
Man, that's so good. If we do not repair soon, then the opportunity for our partners and ourselves to make up a story that's not even, it's not even reality, is that the probability is higher. And so, man, what an encouragement for us to pursue repair, and who can repair first, who can approach it first. Well, guys, that's our episode for today. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode on repair. Kim talked a lot about attunement, about what is repair, what's not repair, and even some of the moments that might be helpful and unhelpful. So thanks for joining us. You have been listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and I hope that you guys stay savvy. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace.